All right, so if we would, let's go ahead and we're looking at the Holy Spirit. We're doing a doctrine on the study of God. And this stuff is important. You realize this, how important it is to know doctrine as you begin sharing your faith with people. You'll care nothing about doctrine. You'll care nothing really about knowing the Word of God if you don't share your faith with people. You might kind of want to know it for yourself, but for the most part, if you're not ever really challenged in what you believe and you're not trying to convert people, to convince them, then you're not going to care really to know doctrine, to study it, if you're not trying to convince other people. Paul told a preacher, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. This is how we show ourselves approved unto God, especially a preacher. But all of us need to be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that lieth in us, is what Peter said. Be ready to give an answer. You can't do that if you don't study. So knowing these things, you realize the importance of knowing doctrine when you begin to share your faith with other people, because they're going to bring up things and you're going to say, I don't know. Just yesterday, I was speaking with a Jehovah's Witness man, and I was able to just point him to scriptures and say, look, here's where it says Jesus is God. And he's, I've looked at that. I'm like, well, what are you looking at then? Because it says Jesus is Jehovah. So what are you looking at? I don't know what you're looking at. And he just wanted to explain it away. But we need to be able to take them to those places. This is what it means to study the Word of God, to be able to know our sword and to be able to use it, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can we effectively use the sword of the Spirit? Can you effectively use the sword of the Spirit? So as we go through these things, the purpose of this is to teach you, to equip you, to train you, and for you to take notes. I mean, write this stuff down so you can go back later and look at it and say, okay, that's where that fits. Let me put these notes in my Bible so I've got them. Because this stuff will help you, because we have looked at how the Holy Spirit is God. It'll help you with that. When you get into even just dealing with the filling of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the charismatics are going to confuse all of that. They're going to mix all of that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're going to mix it all up and confuse it all. And if you don't know what you believe, then you're just going to say, well, what they're saying sounds like it's biblical, so yeah, they must be right too. And who are we to have a corner on the market? Well, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free, because the devil was able to quote scripture just like that, but he perverted all of it. Amen. And Jesus gave us the proper interpretation. So that's how the devil's going to work. He's going to pervert the word of God. He's going to use it. Look at the first appearance. He shows up. Yea, hath God said? He didn't say you'll surely die. God didn't say that. He twists it and changes it. And this is what cults do. So yes, we can have a corner on the market. We can know truth, and we shouldn't apologize or be ashamed of that. I mean, don't feel bad because you're telling your family member you're wrong. That is not truth. That is wrong. You are not understanding that properly. Here, if they're willing to sit down, look, let me show you. Here's what the Bible says. Here, 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 and here's what you're saying, and it doesn't fit. There's a contradiction, so you're wrong. It's okay to tell people that. Amen. Otherwise, don't ever tell anybody they're wrong. If they say 2 + 2 = 5, just be like, well, yeah, I guess you're right. It's your truth. It's true for you, and you're wrong. I mean, we need to know truth, and we can know it. He said, continue in my word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It'll get you out of the bondage of false doctrine when you're willing to follow truth. When your heart attitude is crying out, said, God, just give me truth. If I'm wrong, correct me. But God, give me truth. And then when you see it, you submit to it.
Amen.
And that's what we want. We want that submissive spirit that says, I'm going to follow truth. And again, it goes back to Psalm 119:89. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. I think that's verse 89. Might be another verse. That's okay. I can find it for you if you want. But I know I quoted it right. But I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. 128, thank you. So do you rightly esteem the Word of God? Do you hate every false way? Not do we countenance some false ways because that's what people we love believe. You know, when Jesus preached a hard message in John chapter 6, it says those that believed on him, the disciples, many of them turned their back on him and walked with him no more. And he turned to the apostles and he says, will ye also go away? And Peter's response is important to us and should be our attitude. Where will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They recognized, man, what you said is hard to swallow. It's a hard pill to swallow. I don't even quite understand it. But where are we going to go? You've got the words of life. You have the word of truth. And that has to be our attitude. It's like, wow, I don't like what I just heard. That's hard to swallow. But God, thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? And he said his church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And this is what we need. This is why it's important we study so we have it for ourselves. And when I say we study, I mean you get alone with your Bible. You get alone with your Bible and you study it out. That's so important that we do that.
Amen.
And it's so important beyond that. Let me just say there's really two things that need to happen when it comes to Bible study. You have to read your Bible.
Amen.
Regularly. And I'm not talking for like, you know, half a chapter, a chapter. I'm like, you need to read at least four chapters a day. At least four chapters a day. If you do that, you will finish reading through the whole Bible in a year. Okay, there's Bible reading programs on the back table back there that'll get you through the Old Testament and the New Testament. You'll finish the whole Bible in a year. And you'll read through both the old and the new every day. Grab one if you need one. But if you want a full Bible knowledge, then you need to read through the whole thing. And I'm going to say this again, but shame on anybody if you've been saved for over 2 years and you haven't read through the whole Bible. If you're sitting here right now and you haven't read through the whole Bible, I say shame on you. Shame on you. And you ought to feel bad right now. You ought to feel bad because we have the words of eternal life and we ignore them. Shame on you if you've been saved for over 2 years and you haven't read through the whole Bible. You ought to feel bad right now. You ought to feel convicted. You ought to feel guilty. That's like saying if Jesus showed up here and he was going to teach and you'd say, well, I can stay for 10 minutes, but then I got to go. Who would do that? No saved person in their right mind is going to do that. I mean, I can guarantee you that the front row is going to be filled up. I'll tell you right now, if he's standing here, the front row is going to be filled up. And probably people sitting on the floor around here. But we don't take time to read the Word of God. So that's first, you need to read the Word of God on a daily basis. And some of you in here right now aren't doing that. I know it. Say, you don't know that. Yes, I do, because I know what's in flesh. I know what's in flesh. Some of you aren't doing that right now, and you know it. And it will show in your life. If it's not already, if your family doesn't see it, they will soon. It shows in your life. Quick. Within a few days, it shows up. Wondering why you're struggling all the time, why you're not seeing things, why God's not showing you things. You say, I just don't understand this. I just don't understand this. And God says, exactly, you're not continuing in my word. You want to stay in darkness. So I'm not going to show you more.
Amen.
So you need to read the Word of God daily. But then beyond that, you need to study the Word of God. That's where I'm going to take something, some topic, some anything, don't care what it is, a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to study that. I'm going to study a word in the Bible. I'm going to study this doctrine in the Bible. But you need to study, and it's you alone. It's not I'm going to find on online, I'm going to go to Sermon Audio, I'm going to go to YouTube, and I'm going to find some preacher that's preaching about this. No, that's not it. I'm going to study and ask God. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, hey, God, teach me. Because that's what He says He's going to do. He says He'll teach us all things. 1 Corinthians, John chapter 14, I think. 14 or 15. He's going to teach us these things.
Amen.
We go to Him as the teacher, as the master. And say, Lord, show me. Show me. And we study it out. We start digging through the Bible. That's how you're going to get understanding. That's how you're going to get Bible knowledge. And then those truths that God shows you, you won't be able to be swayed. You're going to say, no, no, no. I know this is the Word of God. I know this is what this says. I know it. Because I studied it for myself. That's what's key. And that's what's going to make you an effective Bible student as you begin doing those things. That's what's going to make you an effective witness for Him. That's what's going to give you the confidence to be a bold soul winner. That's what's going to give you the confidence to challenge people when you're out soul winning. You say, well, I don't challenge them because I don't know what answers to give. Right, because you're not studying. That's why you don't, because you're not studying. So this stuff we go through is to help you, all of this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. Man, the Bible's good, isn't it? Hey, man, I like the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this. All right, it's speaking of Christ. We'll pick up in verse 8, Ephesians 4, 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and here's what he did, he gave gifts unto men. So when he ascended, it says he gave gifts unto men. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And look, here's the gifts that he gave to men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These are the gifts that he gave unto men. Here's why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is why he gave them. This is why he gave you a pastor, a teacher, evangelists, and the apostles have passed off, and prophets in the sense of foretelling have passed off. You could say that there's still foretellers. Foretellers. They tell forth the word of God, but we do not foretell the word of God. But he gave these gifts, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. Do you know what that is? The maturing, the growth of the saints. That's why we assemble here. That's one of the main reasons why we assemble, and that's one of the main reasons why we need to sit under the preaching of the Word of God in a church that is the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Because a church rightly ordered is going to highly esteem the Word of God and is going to say, no, this gets to dictate our beliefs. This tells us what to believe. This is what we follow. So it's for the perfecting of the saints, the perfecting of the church members, we can say. That's who assemble. That's why he gave a pastor. See, a pastor is not for every just saved person out there.
Right.
He pastors a flock. God says, I gave that gift for the saints. This is just more proof that a saint is a church member. But that's who he gave the pastor for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints. Here's why. For the work of the ministry. This is it. So the saints can do the work of the ministry. So the saints can do the work of the ministry. That's what this time is for. Now, you ought to follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
But I read my Bible, I pray, I do these things. I share the gospel, not because I'm a pastor. I'm not qualified to be a pastor if I'm not already doing these things.
Amen.
I do these things because I am a Christian. Because I am a saint. That is why I do those things. So you ought to be able to look at me and say that, well, my pastor's following Christ. As long as he's following Christ, I can follow him.
Amen.
And I will follow him. That's what you submit to, by the way. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. When you join a church, that you're submitting to that. You're submitting to the authority of that church and the authority of the pastor. You are voluntarily submitting to the authority of the church.
Amen.
And that means to put yourself then under the preaching of the Word of God through your church so you can be perfected, so that you can do the work of the ministry. So you can do it. You might say, you know, I can't go soul winning on Saturdays. Well, nobody works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Amen.
So pick a time when you can and go. Pick a time when you can and go. We got plenty of gospel tracts. Pick a time when you can go and go. Look at this. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So he says he gave these gifts to the church to perfect the saints so they can do the work of the ministry. Look at this. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The building up of the body of Christ. See, as the Word of God is preached, what it should do is it should edify us. It should build us up. It should build us up spiritually. It should build us up even numerically. Why? Because we're doing the work of the ministry. That should be a part of it. Now look at this. This is why they're here. This is why these gifts were given to the church, okay? Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is why they were given, so we can come in the unity of the faith. So we can be unified. And that is key to being a successful church in the Lord's eyes. Now, I say that because I don't want someone to think a successful church like business-wise. That's not what we're doing. We're not trying to make it a business that is, you know, according to like a CEO or something. Yes, your numbers look good. They're on a steady increase. No, we're not trying to be successful like that. We're trying to be successful in the eyes of the Lord, being faithful to Him. But that's what it's for. So we can come in the unity of the knowledge of faith. So we want unity so we can be successful for the Lord. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this church here, the purpose of this is really to equip you to be like Christ. That's what it's saying right there. So that you can come unto the knowledge, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're measuring ourselves to Jesus Christ, not somebody else, not the person sitting next to you or the person even standing right here. Nope. Now we should be able you should be able to follow me. You should be able to look at my lifestyle, my example, and follow me. But you're not measuring yourself to me. Amen. You're following Jesus Christ. You're seeking to measure yourself up to Him. And that's what we want. If we're following Christ, then that will naturally help us come in the unity of the faith. So the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's what we're all striving for. We're striving to be like Christ. We're striving to be in unity. Now look at this, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So why do you have a church? Why do you have a pastor? That's right. Look at it. Why do you have a pastor? Yep. So you are not like a child tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. This is why there needs to be ordination. Because you have qualified men who know doctrine. And I know there's a pride in men. And here's the crazy thing is that a man can be full grown and get saved. So it could be a 50-year-old man that gets saved and he comes in here and now I'd be his pastor. And he's like, well, who are you? You know, you're only 38 years old. Who are you to tell me anything? I've lived longer than you. I know more than you. But you know what? You're just at best a baby right now. You're a child. So God put me here to help you so you're not carried about with every wind of doctrine. And the pride in man says, I'm not going to have him telling me what to do. Who is he? I know what I'm talking about. I can read the Bible for myself. But you're a child and you're going to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Therefore, this is why it needs to be an ordained man that has been examined and people have seen that, no, yes, he knows his doctrine. He's grounded and settled in the faith. This is, now look at it in context. This is what the Bible is saying, why you have a pastor. This is why you have a pastor. So you are not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And they lie in wait to deceive, meaning they don't just come straight out. Look, this is how it happens. I'm telling you, he's warning about wolves right here. They lie in wait to deceive. They're going to kind of catch you off here over on the side. They're going to be quiet about it. Yep. They're not going to make it known. Yep. Okay? This is how they do it. And you've got all these YouTube preachers too. I feel like I really need to warn about this because this is a constant threat in the society in which we live in. Because there's so much on social media being put out by, oh, this preacher and this preacher. And it just amazes me. I see preachers share stuff by, and the message may be right, okay? They'll share something by some guy that is just, he's got this right message. What he's saying, the video they share is correct. But the guy's a mess in doctrine in other places. And what in the world, I see preachers sharing this stuff. And I'm like, what in the world are you doing? Why would you share that? To even make a connection for your people that you pastor to that person.
Amen.
Promoting it like it's something good. There's all sorts of stuff I see online that I'm like, man, that was a good message, but I'll never share that. I'll never share that. There's things I've liked before, and then I look in more into it, and I'm like, I got to take that off. Take my like away from that. Why? Because I don't want any of you, honestly, to see it and think Pastor approves of that. No, maybe the message he preached I approve of, but I don't approve of that person, so I don't want to connect you to him. But here's what they do. The cunning craftiness of men, they lie in wait to deceive. And that's what's happening with all these YouTube preachers. All right, you know nothing about them. All right, and you say, Pastor, aren't you on YouTube? Yes, I'm preaching in a church, and it's obvious to see that I'm connected to the pillar and ground of the truth. But these guys, you don't know where they're at. You don't know their doctrine. You don't know their manner of life. You don't know how they live. But you've got so many people will take what they say as this is gospel truth. This is doctrine right here. And they're rejecting. They're in rebellion to the Word of God. That's dangerous. That's what this is talking about right here. Look at it, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Cunning craftiness. See, they can use the Word of God. They can twist the Word of God. Remember, the devil does that. They can twist it to say what they want it to say. And here's the most dangerous part is they've rejected God's authority. They've rejected the New Testament church. Most of them, not all of them, most of them. Now, I will say probably all of them for the most part. Bring them to me and I'll say, yeah, him too. Okay, but most of them, if not all of them, believe in a universal church. Okay, the ones that say they're local church only, and we may even agree with some things they say about that, when you begin to really look at what they practice, it's another story. Yep. See, they say they're local church only, but then they want to build up an online following. And they want to have an online church in another city or something, another location. Like, that's not a local church. You don't know that person. You can't fellowship with that person. That's not what the Bible teaches. So they're already off doctrinally. So what does that tell us? If they're universal church, what have they done? They've left. If they ever had it, they left the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, if you look at 2 John 9 through 11, we are not to be partakers of their evil deeds. We're to mark. Let's look at these because I want you to see it here. Go to 2 John 9. 2 John 9 and then find Romans 16. Romans 16, 17. 2 John 9. Romans 16, 17. I can quote it for you, but I want you to see it. All right, 2 John 9, most of us are familiar with this, maybe not all of us, but I just want to remind you, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, they hath not God. So they're in sin, they're not abiding where they need to. You can connect that with John chapter 15, which is Jesus says, abide in me, and it's talking about his church. It's conditional, therefore it's not salvation in John chapter 15. It's conditional, so it's not dealing with salvation. All right, it's talking about abiding in him, in his church, okay, in their doctrine. And again, this fits right with it. So if you transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ, it says, you hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, he's talking to a church here, okay, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. All right, he's talking to a church. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So if someone comes and they don't bring this doctrine, don't receive him into your house. It's talking about the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Okay, the church, which is the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And don't bid him Godspeed. Don't put your blessing on him. Don't put your blessing on that ministry. That's what it's saying. That's why I won't share that stuff on Facebook.
Amen.
Because I'm not going to bid him Godspeed. I don't want people thinking I agree with that. I just don't. Some people say that's secondary separation. I don't care what it is. I'm not putting my stamp of approval on it. It's going to lead you to error. Because there's those lying in wait with cunning craftiness to deceive. And this is why so many people are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. This is why people leave Baptist truth, is because they've been connected with these guys. They've been yoked up with them. And there are some very eloquent speaking men that are very charismatic personalities. And they're able to sway people and bring them away from the truth. That's exactly what happened with Alexander Campbell. This is how the Church of Christ was started. He went in deceitfully into Baptist churches and started pulling people away, teaching them false doctrine. That's how you have the Church of Christ.
Amen.
That's what it is. It happens. It happens throughout history. God is warning us. The problem is God's people don't like to listen to those warnings.
Amen.
But this is what takes place. So, if they come unto you, don't bid them Godspeed. Don't receive him into your house. Look at this. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You're just as guilty as committing those acts as anybody else. You're a partaker of his evil deeds. I wonder if we want to follow the word of God. If we truly care about the doctrine of Christ. If you do. And you're willing to not bid them Godspeed. Because if you do, you are a partaker of their evil deeds. It's that serious. See, now that right there, when you start preaching on that, here's what that does. That takes a razor and it cuts a fine line. And there's no middle ground there.
Amen.
There's none. The Word of God is a divider of men. Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace but a sword. Division. He said, it's going to get so bad, I'm going to divide up families.
Yep.
Husband against wife.
Amen.
Child against parent. Brother against sister. He said, it's going to get bad, I'm going to divide up families. It's because it's a fine line. And God's saying, hey, will ye also go away? And the majority left. When it got down to it, the majority left. But there was the few that said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Where will we go? Where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, God's word is a divider of men. If you bid them Godspeed, if you say, you put your stamp of approval on some ministry, you say, this is good here. Then you're bidding them Godspeed and you're a partaker of their evil deeds. We have to be so careful in what we do because there's others watching. There's others watching. See, Romans 14 talks about not being a stumbling block to the weaker brethren. And you know what? There is a truth that you may be able to handle that truth and it not affect you in a negative way. And by the way, as a pastor, you have to be able to look at those things. You have to be able to study those things so that you can teach against them. You have to be able to do that. And only so much, because none of us can withstand everything. So even at that, you have to be very careful.
Amen.
But you have to, you know, have your finger in the air to say, which way are the winds blowing? Because here's gospel truth and here's where I'm standing, but which way is it? It's going that way? Okay, so that's what's being taught. All right, I need to refute that then. I need to teach my people against that. You have to be able to do that. So there may be cases where you're able to withstand some false doctrine, but if you put it out there, there may be a weaker brother or sister in Christ that's not able to. And they say, oh, brother so-and-so said this is good. Now let me look at what else this guy teaches. And you're going to bring them down. You're going to hurt them. You're going to destroy them. So now Romans chapter 16, verse 17, if you would. So we want to guard and protect ourselves from these errors. Romans 16:17. Again, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And we're talking about those that are, you know, this is how a wolf works. He comes in and he tries to pick off the weak one, the young one, the one that's more susceptible to being brought down. That's how a wolf works. The wolf does not show up when the shepherd's there. The wolf doesn't go after the shepherd. Okay, the shepherd will beat the wolf and fight him off. Okay, he doesn't do that. He says, no, I'm going to kind of sneak off over here and do it. I mean, many of us, we live here, we've seen coyotes. They work the same way. They're not as strong and powerful as a wolf, but they work the same way. Just watch them. If you ever get near them, even if you've ever seen like a pack of coyotes even running and you start walking towards them, they start kind of just shying away from you. And they'll be running, just walking away, maybe little trot, just looking at you as they go away. If you've ever been able to do that, if you've ever seen that happen, that's exactly how they work. They'll just stay away from you. And that's how these that lie in wait to deceive, that's how they work, okay? All right, so we're talking about YouTube preachers, and it could be anybody. It could be somebody that comes in here. You know, we want to make sure you come in here, you got the same doctrine as us. Now, anybody, again, can come visit here, and you're welcome to invite anybody. I mean it. Invite them. They don't have to believe like we do. They can come if they want to listen. We're happy to teach them. If they start causing problems, though, if I hear about it, if I catch wind of it, I'll go straight to that person and talk to them. And if they persist in it, I'll say, don't come back. You're not welcome here. Because we're not going to have that coming in here. I mean, what shepherd would allow a wolf to just hang out and attack the sheep every once in a while? Ah, he just bit their leg. It's all right. What? Well, it was a young one. They were kind of sickly anyway. We didn't really need that one. They weren't going to do much good. What? Now apply that spiritually. They're sick spiritually. They're weak spiritually. They weren't going to do much good anyway. We don't really need them. Then you've got all this nonsense going on, you know, and it's not nonsense, but I'm saying it's nonsense because most of the people that say it don't believe it. But they say, you know, oh, church isn't a place for saints. It's a place for sinners. No, it's actually, it is a place for saints. But they say that and saying that anybody can come. So you'll just allow a wolf to come in and pick off the weaklings and you won't do anything about it? What? You don't love people if that's what you do as a pastor. Amen. You're a hireling.
Amen.
You're a hireling. Trying to make a buck. Trying to keep yourself comfortable. You don't actually love God and you don't love God's people if you do that as a pastor. If you won't run people off that are teaching error, you don't love God or his people. Period. So this is what happens. These people can come in. Doesn't matter. It could be on through YouTube or whatever. And this is why I'm giving this warning. Just stay away from that. You don't need to get your doctrine from YouTube.
Amen.
You don't get your doctrine from YouTube. Where do you get your doctrine? Where do you give it to you? Where do he tell you? What did he give a pastor for? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. What did they do in Acts chapter 2? They continued steadfastly what? In the apostles' doctrine. They weren't going to the Jews and fellowship, amen. They weren't going to the Jews for doctrine. They went to the church, to the pillar and ground of the truth. That's where they were getting their doctrine. But you don't understand, Gamaliel knows the Bible really good. I mean, he was well known during that time. That's not where they went to get their doctrine.
Amen.
No, we're going to go to the source of truth, the pillar and ground of the truth. They continued in that. So, as we get to separating from these people, Romans 16:17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," here's what I want you to do, "mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned." Mark them. If they're teaching contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, if they're causing division. Now that could be someone coming in here, bringing in bad doctrine, and kind of just trying to teach it to somebody off on the side. Somebody over here. That could happen at any time. We could have someone come in here and start doing that. I mean, this is why people that I know have come in from and believe differently than we do, maybe it's on repentance. I'm going to say, no, we're not going to have that here. We're not going to have them come in and start teaching differently and saying, oh, the pastor's wrong on that. What are you even doing here? Get out of here then. Amen. Why would you come here believing different and want to be a part of this right. and try and change it? And they don't even have biblical backup for it.
No.
They've got zero biblical basis for it. And I can say that because I've dealt with them. I've debated them on it. More than once and more than one person. I've debated them, and everything I throw at them, they don't have answers for it in regard to that topic on repentance. And it's a big one because it's the first principle in the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
It's huge because without that, there's no salvation. There's no faith.
Amen.
You can't mess that order up. But if they want to come in and teach that, it's like, no, you're not going to come in and start teaching something contrary to it. And this is why we don't just receive people right away. Oh, you want to join? Great, yeah, come on in. Bring your money too. No, we don't do that. I'm not going to have them come in and start bringing division into our body. That'll destroy unity. We're striving for unity.
Amen.
That's what we want. That's how we'll be effective, is if we're unified. So we don't want someone coming in bringing different doctrine, causing division. You say, so what are we to do? Oh, if only we knew what to do. If only God told us what to do with somebody that brings in division. Praise God, He did.
Amen.
It's like God knew there was going to be these problems, and He said, hey, when these come, here's how you deal with it. Here's what you're going to do. He said, I beseech you, I'm begging you, brethren. I am begging you. Mark them. What does that mean? That means if someone were to come into here and start bringing in division, that at some point, maybe they're a member, maybe they're just visiting, but at some point I'd have to come up and say, hey, everybody, I need you to know, so-and-so believes this, and they're bringing this division into our church, and the Bible does not teach this, and so-and-so is bringing this division in. You need to stay away from them. That's what that means. Say, that's unloving. Unloving to who? Stop getting your Christianity from memes on Facebook.
Amen.
Right? I'm dead serious. Stop getting it from that. Get your doctrine from the Bible. Unloving to who? If you love me, keep my commandments. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Does that include Romans 16:17? It says, mark them. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary, in opposition, in other words, to the doctrine which ye have learned. To what you were taught. Where were you taught it? In the church, the pillar and ground of the truth? If it's contrary to that, mark them. It's bringing division, mark them. There's not one person in here should be bringing division.
Amen.
Not one person in here should be bringing division. You know what God says to a person like that, that brings division? He says it's an abomination. It's an abomination. He that soweth discord among brethren is an abomination to God. That's God's attitude of it. We even have examples of that. How many of you remember reading through the wilderness wanderings, Korah and his rebellion against God and the way God had set things up? He withstood Moses. It was God's selection for leadership for that nation. And he withstood them. How many of you remember Miriam? What happened to her? Moses' own sister, when she withstood him, didn't like the way he was doing things. She got leprosy and was thrown out of the camp. Even after she was cleansed, he said, no, separate yourself for a while. You're going to stay out 7 days, and you can come back in. God's never been happy with division. It's an abomination to him. It's an abomination to him. So mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and do what? Avoid them. Avoid them. You avoid them. Stay away from them. Why would you do that? Because nearness is likeness. Nearness is likeness. You'll be like those you're near. you will be like those you're near. If you hang around a liar, you'll start lying. If you hang around a thief, you'll start stealing. If you hang around someone that causes division, you'll start doing it. You hang around someone that's always backbiting, you'll start doing it. So what do? You mark them and you avoid them. Here's where the warning goes. Verse 18, for they that are such, what, those that are teach contrary, bring division, teach contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, those type of people, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't serve Jesus Christ. So all these guys on YouTube preaching contrary to doctrine to the Word of God, teaching contrary to the teachings of the New Testament church, don't care who they are. I don't care if they have an assembly they go to that they call a church. It doesn't matter to me. They're teaching contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, contrary to sound doctrine. What does it say of them? For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not serving Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say about it? Go back, look at Hebrews chapter, or 2 John chapter 2, 2 John verses 9 through 11. Go back and look at them. And it says, if they have not this doctrine, talking about the doctrine of Christ, they hath not God.
Amen.
They hath not God. So what is this saying? Same thing. For they that are such, those that have contrary doctrine to what you were given, what you learned, what you were taught, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. It's saying the same thing. You have not God. They hath not God. They're not serving Jesus Christ. They're not. They may in all sincerity think that they are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how sincere they are. And it's not unloving to say that.
Amen.
This is what God says. You left the doctrine. You don't have God. And you're not serving God. Say, yes, I am. No, you're not. The Bible says if you're teaching contrary to the doctrine which He laid down, you don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God said that.
Amen.
God said that. Amen. Man, I figured we'd get a few more amens in here than that. Amen. God said that. Praise God.
Amen.
Somebody help me now. Do I need to start doing that stuff? Wah, wah. We get an organ or something going. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but what? Watch out now, but their own belly. They serve themselves. They serve themselves. And by good words and fair speeches, look at this now. Watch out now, look at this. This will cut down some pride right here. If you've fallen for this, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Deceive the hearts of the simple. Someone says, oh, I don't need a pastor. You're simple.
Amen.
You're simple. I don't follow no man. I follow the Word of God. You're simple.
Amen.
If you say that or think it in your heart, you're simple. You don't understand the Word of God.
That's right.
Because the Word of God, the God that you say you serve, said, obey them that have the rule over you. He says, I gave them to you for your perfection, for your edifying, for you to do the work of the ministry. That's why I gave them. And you think you don't need them? Takes us right back. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. Stay away from them. They're wrong. Stay away from them. You mark them and you avoid them. Why? Because they're not serving Jesus Christ, their own belly. And they've got good words and fair speeches, but what do? They deceive the hearts of the simple. They deceive the hearts of the simple. You're simple. You know what simple means? It's ignorant. You don't know. And here's the biggest problem is because Most people are going to be filled with pride and they're going to think, oh, I know. They're not going to deceive me. They won't get me. But when you're saying stuff like that, when you're already listening to these that teach contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, you're already deceived. You are already deceived. Already. So this is a warning to us to protect us. Do you see, some people might think, well, you think you're the only one with right doctrine. No, there's other true New Testament churches out there that are the pillar and ground of the truth. But this is the one, if you're a member here, God put you here.
Amen.
And this is the one God says where you need to get your doctrine from.
That's right.
This is the one God says you need to support. This is the one God says you need to follow. Amen. Otherwise, you're simple and being deceived. That's what's happening. All right, back to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. So again, these pastors, teachers are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. All right, they're given for this. So it's for you. I'm here for your benefit. Okay, that's biblical right there. I'm here for your benefit. God put me here for you. Now, I'm an equal member just like you. Okay, but I am a gift to this church, and I am put here with a specific purpose, just like any pastor is to any church. He's here for a specific purpose, to perfect, to edify you. So that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Look at this. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things. What? So the truth is spoken in love so that you can grow up in Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He's the head, so we follow Him. Speaking the truth in love. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The church, the pillar and ground of the truth. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now look at this. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. The whole body. The whole body. Somebody help me out. What does that mean, the whole? Anybody, does that mean the half? Does that mean the 7/8? Does that mean the 1921st? All right, we got 21 members here. Does it mean the 2021st? The 1521st? What does it mean? The whole. It means all of it, right? All right, I was just checking. From whom the whole body, look at this, fitly joined together. Isn't that what Jesus does? He joins us together. He's the one that adds us to the church. He puts us in there, fitly joined together and compacted. Now look at this, watch out. There's another word that people get confused on, I think. By that which every joint supplieth. What does that mean? Does that mean every? Or does that mean most? Somebody help me. I mean, there's confusion out there about, I'm not even, you say, Pastor, you're being sarcastic. Yes and no, because there is confusion about this. People really don't know what this means. They don't, I guess, I don't know what it is. I can't understand it for the life of me. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. They don't know what whole means. They don't know what every means. I'm just being dead serious. You say, Pastor, why are you always talking about this? Why don't we get it right and I won't have to always talk about it?
Amen.
Okay, this is for our good.
Amen.
This is what, when we study the Word of God, what I want you to do with this, because that's how this whole thing started. I started talking about studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God. What I want you to do with this, take it home. Look at it. Study it and say, you know what? Pastor's right. Pastor's exactly right. Now, where do I fit in this? Take it home and study it. Look at it. I don't just believe what any man says. Good, then study it. Stop being lazy and study it.
Amen.
And get it. It says whole, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, every. Not most. Not almost all, but every joint. Look at it. Look what every joint does. It supplieth. Supplies. You know, you blow out your ACL or something, you got a problem with one of your joints. A bad problem. And it's going to hurt. And you're not going to be effective. I work with a guy right now. He's got his knee's been messed up for over a year. He finally found out that it's his meniscus is messed up. And that's like the part under your kneecap. And he was showing me, he says, this leg, I can bring it all the way up. He says, but this one, it won't go. It just goes to like right there. He says, it's not working right. He says, I can't get it all the way. See, we need every joint supplying so we can be a healthy body.
Amen.
And when every joint doesn't supply, when something's lacking, we are not. I'm talking about Liberty Baptist Church right here is not a healthy body.
Amen.
We're not. Now, let me add to that. This man I work with, you know what? That meniscus is physically there. It's physically there. But it's not participating like it should.
Amen.
It's not participating like it should. So it's there, but it's not doing its job. It's not involved. It's not engaged. And therefore, his body cannot function like it should. Because there's a problem. And it hurts the whole body. See, this here says that pastors and teachers are given to perfect the saints, for the work of the ministry, to edify the body, so that people aren't led astray, so that they can grow up to be like Christ. This is why the pastor's given, so we can all be like Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, fitly. It's fit. Think about that. It's fit. Everything's fitting like it should. Fitly joined together. It's all joined. Look at that. That's unity. You see that? That's unity. Compacted. It's all in there tight, just like it should be. You ever gutted an animal? You pull that gut sack out and you look at it and you're like, this is amazing. It really is amazing how all of that fits in there. I mean, it's just crazy when you start seeing it. I mean, the heart, the lungs, all of it are just, they're just on top of each other, like smashed together, and everything fits perfect. It's all just fits there how it should. Even when you pull the skin off of their leg, and you start looking at how everything just fits together, how the meat, the flesh just goes down and ends up joining into the bones with the ligaments, and then it connects to the bones and everything, you're just like, wow, this is amazing how all of this fits together. It all just compacted together. So from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Look at that, every joint supplies. Every joint's doing its part. According to the effectual working. See, when every joint's doing its part, look what happens. It says that there is effectual working. It's effectual. See, my knee's not messed up now. I got full range of motion. I can do what I'm supposed to do now. What I do is effectual. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. See, every part's doing what it's supposed to. Some parts get jealous over other parts and they say, well, they're doing that and I'm not, because that's not where God puts you. So just be effectual in your part. Don't worry about their part. Praise them in their part. Say, you're doing a good job over there, kneecap. Man, keep it up. I like that. You might be a thumb and you can say, good job, kneecap. Doing your part. See, just encourage people in their part. In their part, help them. Let's help each other. Let's work together. Because look, when one of us does get sick or something, I'm talking spiritually, and we are maybe not what we should be, then you know what the body does do? It does pick up the slack to help. You know, when you cut yourself, your body instantly starts doing all sorts of things, and it starts sending, you know, what is it called, to clog the hemoglobin, is that what it's called, that starts clogging it? Whatever, it starts sending all the stuff it needs to that cut spot to start stopping that bleeding. Just things just kick into gear to start working to protect the body. They start doing things to help that part that's been damaged, that part that's been hurt. That's what begins to happen. And that's what we need to do as a body. And you know what? That's what it is. When somebody, when we see that they're not being every joint that they need to be. They're not being what they should be. They're not being faithful. Then when members of the body start going up to them and saying, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? Something's changed. You're not faithful like you were. How's your walk with God? How are you doing? That's the same thing of the body working to say, no, let's help this person. Let's bring health back. Let's close that wound up. Let's heal that damaged part. That's what we're to be. That's what we want. That's what we desire. That's even what this message is. Saying, let's fix things. Let's work together to be strong, to be unified, to be what we ought to be, to look at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and aim and shoot for that. To be a unified body. To be one in heart, mind, and soul, really, because we're His body. That's what we want. But we go to help that person. So by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. There it is again, every part. The effectual working in the measure of every part. What does it do? It maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The building up of itself in love. You see, if we have the proper understanding of what the church is, the proper understanding of a love for Christ, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do so whatsoever I've commanded you. If we do that, if we love Christ like we should, then we're going to love His body like we should, because it's His. It is His. We ought to love His body as much as we say we love Him.
Amen.
Because it's His. It is His. If you're a member here, you're a part of His body. You ought to not love anyone in here less than somebody else.
Amen.
You ought to not treat somebody in here different than you would somebody else.
Right.
You ought to love them all the same. Care for them the same. You see them hurting, help them. You see them in dangerous waters, be willing to help them. Be willing to speak the truth in love. Isn't that what it said? Speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. And sometimes that means saying the hard things. We do it in our own families. We do it with our children. I got to go talk to them. I got to tell them. Got to tell my wife this. Got to tell my husband that. And you dread it. No one wants to do that. Tell someone they're doing something wrong. That's a nightmare. Who wants to do that? Nobody likes to do that. Deal with something with one of your children. You're like, great, this is going to be fun for the next 2 weeks to have to deal with this. No one wants to do that.
Amen.
But you do it because you love them. Because you see them in danger. And that's what this is all talking about. So maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The edifying, the building up of itself. What? In love? Because of love. Look, now this is what happens as somebody exercises. Their body is built up. It's strengthened. It's able to do more. It's able to be more effective. As you exercise, that's what's happened. Your body gets bigger. It gets built up. And you're able to do more. And that's what we want to do as a body. We want to be spiritually strong. We want to be spiritually unified. We want every joint supplying. And that's just kicking off, just boom, 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 and able to do more. To build ourselves up, to even, I think that means spiritually, but numerically, bringing more people into this body. Because we're doing what we're supposed to, so God says, yep, there, let's add some. Let's add some. We're praying for laborers. Well, praise the Lord, come on in. But I'm telling you, we got to be healthy. We got to be healthy so we can help strengthen more. We need that. And all this that I'm talking about, it's constant. It's ongoing. But we want to strive for the mastery, Paul said. We want to strive for unity. We want to strive for a bond in peace. We want to strive for these things. We want to seek to attain the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we want to do. That's what we're striving for. And a big part of us being able to do that, and everything I taught you here, take it home, study it. Look at it, say, is what pastor's saying right? And if you disagree, then bring it before me. Bring it to me and say, this is where you're wrong. Okay, I'll listen to you. But don't just disagree because you don't like it. I mean, I don't think anything I've said here is contrary to any of these scriptures that I've given you. So to me, it seems pretty clear. But take it home and study it. But all of this started because I said, a lot of problems that are within churches would disappear if people would read their Bibles and study their Bibles. Most people, as I've counseled with them, and they're having spiritual problems, one of the first questions I will usually ask is, how's your Bible reading? Well, and that's what I always get. It's kind of look off to the side, look up, look down. Well, it could be better. Yeah, well, all of us could be better, but how is yours specifically? And then I'll just get specific because no one ever wants to say. So I'll be like, well, what are you reading? Like once or twice a week? Yeah, about. Okay, there's a problem. That's your problem. There it is. Ding, ding, ding. I found the problem. I found it. You're not walking in the spirit. You're walking in the flesh. I found your problem. Say, no, that's not my problem. Yes, it is. No, my problem has to do with so-and-so over here. No, that's your problem. So-and-so wouldn't bother you because you wouldn't be walking in the flesh if you were doing this. I found your problem. I'm talking 90% of the problems you may be having right now. I'm telling you right now. Let's take it back to that. Fix that first and then come see if you still got problems. And I'm not saying don't come to me. I'm here to help you. I mean that. I want to help you. If you say, I don't know how to handle this. You know, that's why a pastor's given. For the perfecting of the saints. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you in situations. To help apply the Bible. To say, well, what about this? Here. Well, let's look. What does the Bible say about that? You know, at the stage of life that you're at, I'm here to help you. I am here to help you. Apply the Bible to the circumstances that you're facing in your life right now. From the young kids to the teenagers, to the young adults, to the married with children, to those that are single and they're older, to those that their kids are out of their house, to every circumstance in life. I am here to help you. This is why God put me here. Is to be a help to you in those circumstances. But 90% of the problems that people have are there because they don't read their Bible and they don't study it. Please, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me, if you're having issues, you're having a problem with so-and-so, whatever, with this situation, this circumstance, please come tell me. Say, you're wrong, Pastor, because I am reading my Bible. I am walking with God like I should. I am faithful to church. I am an involved member. I'm doing all of these things. And we could even take out just being faithful to church. I guarantee your Bible reading is not even what it should be. You're not even doing that consistently. Tell me I'm wrong. Now, with that, I do want to throw this caveat in that just because you're doing these things doesn't mean there won't be problems in life. It doesn't mean that, and I'm not saying that. But I am saying that 90% of the problems we have, it's a result of us not walking in the Spirit, us not walking with God. That's why those problems are there. Because we think fleshly minded instead of spiritually minded. So a lot of the problems that are in existence within this body, if there's division, if there's backbiting going on, if there's complaining, I want to ask those that are doing that, if that's taking place, how's your walk with God? Are you in your Bible on a daily basis? Are you studying your Bible on a daily basis? I'll just about guarantee the answer is no. That's what I found in my experience counseling people. As I've spoken with other preachers, same thing. I found the same thing. Their experience is the same. People aren't walking with God like they should. And that's why there's those issues. So for us to be the effective servants we need to be to edify and build this body up, to do the work of the ministry, you here as an individual, even you children that are young, that are in elementary, that are in middle school, teenagers, you need to study the Bible on your own. You got a problem with your parents? They're always telling me what to do. They don't let me do this. They don't let me do that. I'll just about guarantee you got a problem with the Word of God. You know, sometimes questions come up and teenagers especially will be like, well, you know, I want to do this, but my parents won't let me. Where's it at in the Bible? Honor thy father and mother. Amen. That's where it's at in the Bible. It's that simple.
Amen.
That's where it's at. So the Bible doesn't say you can't do that. Yes, it does, because your dad said you can't do it. Your mom said you can't do it.
Amen.
That's why you can't do it. Now, again, I will say, parents, that's not always the best answer. I mean, you might say, no, you're not going to do it. You need to have some biblical basis for it. And sometimes it is just like, I don't think that's best. I don't want you to do that. And that's okay. But explain that to them, not just because. No, don't tell them that. Just tell them, you know, that no, that's not best. I don't think it's going to be good. I don't think it's safe. Whatever. I don't know what the circumstances are. No, you cannot do that. I don't want you doing that. I don't want you to look like that. I don't want you to go there. I think it's dangerous. Whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. Say, no, you can't do that. Well, you kids in here that have a problem with what your parents say, you got a problem with the Word of God. And if you have a problem with that, you have a problem with authority. And you don't like the way God has set it up. That's why you're rebellious to your parents, because you have a problem with authority. If you have a problem with authority, you have a problem with God. Because God designed it this way.
Amen.
This is why children are to honor their father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise. And now every child wants to throw out, yeah, but fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's the first thing they're going to throw out. Yeah, you're not supposed to provoke us to wrath. Well, do what you're supposed to, obey me, and I won't be provoking you to wrath half the time. All right? See, that's what we want to do. We want to throw it on somebody else. And that's not even right. I'm just joking. Okay, but look, it's not my job to, it is my job not to provoke my children to wrath. Okay, it is their job to obey me. But it's not their job to say, you're supposed to do this, or for me to say, you're supposed to do this. Now, yes, parents, you need to teach your children those things, but you understand, I hope you understand what I'm saying, is that my job is to do my part, what I'm supposed to do. So kids especially, your job is to do your part. Your job is simply to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's what your job is to do. And I promise you, quoting to your parents, provoke not your children to wrath, is not going to help the situation. That will not help the situation. Just obey.
Amen.
That's what your job is. Let God deal with your parents. Okay, that's the example King David gave us about authority. He wouldn't bring his hand against King Saul, even though he knew he was going to be king and Saul was going to be removed. He said, I won't do it. He wouldn't even say something negative about them.
Yep.
My parents are so stupid. You're speaking evil of dignities.
Amen.
That's a government God set up. It's the government of your home, and you're speaking evil of the authority in that. See, you have a problem with God. Same thing to us parents. Are you trashing your boss? Ladies, are you trashing your husband? I'm serious now. I mean, at least kids can say, and I'm not excusing them in this, but at least kids can say that, well, I didn't ask to be brought in here. But you can't say that in marriage. You voluntarily submitted to put yourself under that man's authority. You submitted to that. Don't despise it now all of a sudden and tear him down because he doesn't do things the way you think he should or the way you like. It doesn't work that way. It works the other way around. You're supposed to do it the way he likes. That's how it should work. That's biblical. That's submission. The church doesn't tell Jesus what to do.
Amen.
We do not tell him what to do. He tells us what to do, and we submit to it. That's how it works, and that's how our homes ought to be ordered. Now, a husband is a fool if he doesn't seek his wife's advice. There's a lot of decisions that I make that it was really my wife's decision. I'm like, oh, that's a way better idea than I had, so we do that. Or things I'll just defer to her. I'm like, what do you think? You tell them. And she does it. But that's me delegating authority to her. But you handle this. Grocery shopping. I'm like, you go do that. You pick what we're going to get. I don't want to micromanage everything. But there's a order of things, the way they're given. And we need to follow that. We need to submit to that. If we don't, we have a problem with God. And again, all this type of stuff can come back to how's our walk with God? How's our reading of the Bible, our studying of the Bible? See, it's like it just comes through us and it cleanses us. The Word of God just cleanses us. It changes our thinking, even though we don't realize it. It begins to change our thinking and our spirit and our mood, because we get the spirit of the world out of us and we get the spirit of God in us. And it helps us. It brings a sweeter spirit to everything. And we now have the right attitude in our home, with our children, with our wife, with our husband, with our parents, at church as the Word of God is preached. Instead of sitting there like, I'm waiting for him to say something wrong, we're like, man, what's he got? Just the attitude changes. The way we receive the Word of God changes. Because we're walking with the Lord. Because we're close to the chief shepherd. And the Spirit of God can move in and help us. All right.